The privilege has been mine. The blessings have been entirely overwhelming. The love that has been shown to us by Old Baptist people is more than words can express. That the church holds to, if it was just for the love that Old Baptist people show, I'd want to be an Old Baptist. I'm going to take my watch over here and set it there. I don't want to take too much time, but I'm going to put my handkerchief on top of the watch so I can't see it. Out west, we used to have ways where when people would go into public buildings, they'd deposit their guns in the vestibule so that they couldn't get into gunfights and shoot people. Wouldn't it be wonderful in Old Baptist churches if we had a little box out front and everybody had to deposit their watch so they couldn't shoot the preacher down when it came 12 o'clock? I used to be with a group, and we took in at 11 o'clock sharp and let out at 12 o'clock dull. This morning, if the Lord is with me at all, I want to try to bring you a message that I would not have thought to bring, but it was suggested. It's in the book of Proverbs. We'll use as a text Proverbs 24, and if you have your Bibles, I trust that you will turn with me. Solomon writes these wise words. He says in verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived, other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he wrote these words. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Those acceptable words are words of delight, words of pleasure. They're also valuable words and words of truth. Jude once said in his epistle, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful that I write unto you that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." I would prefer perhaps, and I'm under no pressure to do what I'm going to preach or attempt to preach, it would be words of pleasure for me to stand here and to tell you how the God of grace reached down and took this sinner from the dunghill and set his feet upon the solid rock. It would be words of pleasure for me to tell you how the Lord showed me from the Scriptures the doctrines of grace without using any man's commentaries or having never heard of the Primitive Baptist. It would be words of pleasure for me to stand here and to talk to you about baptism, for I've been in the water four times, but I've only been baptized once. It would be words of pleasure for me to stand here and to tell you about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he established and called out from the disciples that John had baptized. And there's only one church upon the face of this earth, and there's never been but one church upon the face of this earth, and that's the one that the Lord Jesus Christ established.
Amen.
And it may have not always been called Primitive Baptist. It may have been called Donatists and Novatians, Paulicans, Waldensians, Anabaptists, or whatever the names might have been. But they held to the doctrines and to the practices that the Primitive Baptist Church holds today. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one true church in the United States or around the world, and it's the Primitive Baptist Church. It'd be words of pleasure for me to talk to you about those things. But it's needful that I speak to you about contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Solomon says, meddle not with them that are given to change. Now that meddle is not the kind of meddling that your children do with some of your valuables, or perhaps as my wife wants to sort out things on my desk and meddle with my things. And I say, honey, don't mess with those things. I won't be able to find them. That's not the kind of meddle that Solomon is talking about. The word meddle there means intermix, as a braid. It means to give strength and surety to. So Solomon is saying, do not intermix, do not give strength, do not give surety to those that are given to change. That word given means to be addicted, just like an elder is not to be given to wine. Do not give strength and surety to those who are masters of change. And that word change is a word that perhaps even the root meaning, the size of the word is too big for this old Southern boy's vocabulary, but it means to transmute, to change in nature and principle, to bend, to fold, to twist. And so Solomon is telling us that we're not to give strength and surety to those who are masters of changing that in nature and principle. Now there's a lot of changes that come in our lives that are good changes. This same wise man who wrote this passage of Scripture says to everything there is a season. A time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. I'll not take the time to read all of these things, but there's a time for everything. There are some changes that come in a normal way that are good and in harmony to God's Word. There are some changes that come from emotions. We've heard this morning of sickness, and we sorrow for those that are sick. We've heard of death, and we sorrow for those who have died. And we sorrow for their loved ones. We've heard of people having weddings, and we rejoice in times like that. There are changes that come from emotions. There are changes that come from circumstances. In July, I had a heart attack, and I had to change my lifestyle. I no longer could eat that good old Southern cooking that Sister Margaret Scott fixes for me when I go to Ludowice. I can't eat that good cornbread and those greens with the ham and things like that in it. I have to eat low fat, low sodium, no taste, no cholesterol, this type of food. But I have to do that. Change comes from age. We begin to lose our hair. We begin to lose our teeth. We begin to lose our flexibility. All of these kinds of change. We have change that comes from technology. Did you know, I've heard that there's a lot of old Baptist churches won't even have electricity in. And I can understand that. They just don't want to go to the change. But thank God for the electricity. Thank God for the good pews. Thank God for the beautiful buildings. There's nothing wrong with those kinds of changes. They're in harmony with God's Word. The kind of change that Solomon is talking about is the change that I believe would change the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into an image like unto corruptible man. The kind of change that would change the truth of God into a lie. The kind of change that would change the grace of God into lasciviousness. For Jude, who said, it was needful that I write unto you to contend for the faith, says there are certain men crept in unawares, which are trying to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. I believe Solomon is speaking of the kind of change where they would change the doctrines of God into heresy. In the book of 2 Peter, and I'd like for you to put your finger there. We're going to use this several times this morning. Brother, if I get to going too long, you pull on my coattail. I can hush just about as fast as I started. But in the book of 2 Peter, Peter says in chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, those are not my words. Those are the words of God that He has written here. There are going to be false teachers trying to bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There are those who would change the worship of God into idolatry. Do not meddle with those who are given to change. Now, God does not change. God does not change. In Malachi 3:6, He says, I am God, and I change not. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. In the book of James, we are told that every good gift comes down from heaven, and that they come to us from God, with whom is no variableness and no shadow of turning. That word variableness, used by James, comes from a Greek word that means transmutation. The same meaning that the Hebrew word has that Solomon used in the book of Proverbs. God does not change in nature and in principle. And neither does His Word change. His Word is forever settled in heaven. And it is men, through the deceptive devices of Satan himself, that go about attempting to change the Word of God. Ungodly change usually comes, and I use the word usually, by false teachers. I say usually because I do believe that some changes occur sometime that are ungodly through ignorance and tradition. But most of the time, ungodly change comes through false teachers. It was Satan himself who attempted to change the very Word of God in the Garden of Eden by seducing and beguiling and deceiving Eve. The nation of Israel was continually plagued with prophets of change. I don't have time to go and dig out all of the scriptures and give you all of the illustrations. But beloved, may I say to you, if you go back and read the descriptions in 1 Kings, here was a man named Jeroboam who took over as the king of Israel. And he made priests of the lowest of the people. Why I have this written in my Bible, I do not know, but I have written homo ministers. Now, we follow this through the Bible, and we come to a man named Ahab, and the Bible says Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all before him. And he was the one who set up places of worship to worship Baal. He took unto himself Jezebel as a wife. And he worshiped Baal. He changed the worship of God into idolatry. And up pops a man named Elijah. No background, no history. He didn't go to a seminary. He didn't attend any Bible college. I don't even know where he came from. But all of a sudden, Elijah the Tishbite pops up on the scene and says, according to my word, it shall not rain on the face of the earth for a period of 3 years. And it did not rain. And after three and a half years, Ahab went to find Elijah, or Elijah went to find Ahab, and listen to the words of what God's word says. Ahab says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Isn't it amazing that those who would stand in the way to hold up truth and hold up righteousness and to stand for the word of God, when trouble comes, they're always the one blamed for the trouble. But Ahab says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah says, I am not the one that troubleth Israel, but thou and thy father's house, for thou hast forsaken the Lord, and thou hast turned to worship Baal. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, the Lord says this concerning change. He says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods, whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations? He says, a wonderful and horrible thing has happened to my people in this land. They have turned unto false worship. The prophets have prophesied falsely. The priests have ruled according to their means. And the people love to have it so. Now you may wonder why I'm preaching all of this, or attempting to preach it. But when we get over, and let me say this, some have said, you can't prove a New Testament doctrine from the Old Testament. You ever heard that? Well, what did Paul preach from? Paul said that he proved the law and the prophets, that Jesus was from the law and the prophets, that Jesus was the Christ. The church, the early church, was plagued with change. Paul the apostle, in dealing with the Galatians church, says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now these are the words of God. I didn't write these words. God didn't tell Bob Allgood to decide to do something a different way than what God's word tells us to do. It says, if any other man or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. It's even repeated. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? The early church was plagued with prophets of change. Even though they had been warned, Jesus said, false prophets shall come in wool, as wolves in sheep's clothing. In the book of Acts, Chapter 20, Paul speaking to the elders at the church of Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among the flock, among you not sparing the flock. Now notice where some of these people come from. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after thee. Now I know that these are not words of pleasure. These are not words of delight, but they're needful words.
Amen.
They're words that God has told us to beware. Let no man deceive you. Let no man beguile you. Let no man spoil you of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ Jesus through vain deceit and philosophies.
Amen.
We go on in the early church. Go to the book of Revelation. We find the church at Ephesus. They left their first love. I have difficulty getting through this. I don't like to chase rabbits when I'm trying to preach, but may I say to you, I left my first love one time. Oh, we were sitting there singing that song, "I'm unworthy to be called thy son. I'm unworthy to be called thy son." I left my first love one time. Thank God for a faithful, obedient, dedicated wife who stayed faithful to the Lord while I rebelled against service. Thank God for a man named Sonny Powell who preached, "You left your first love." There must have been 500 people in that auditorium, and he didn't know me from anybody. But I'll tell you, there might have just well been one person there.
Amen,
everything he had to say was directed to my heart. I left my first love. I got married to the world. I became as lukewarm, ready to be spewed out of the mouth of God. And he gave me space to repent. And he gave me knowledge to repent. And he gave me grace to repent. And when I repented, I made a beeline for El Bethel Church and asked them to forgive me and take me back as a church member. I would have been happy cleaning the restroom, beloved. I wasn't looking for any kind of a position I didn't ever expect to exercise or attempt to preach the Word of God. But here I am. The church at Ephesus hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But if you go a little further amongst these churches, you find the church at Pergamos, I believe it is, they had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, what is this doctrine? The word Nicholas means victorious over the people. It was a separation of the priest and the laity. That's what this doctrine was all about. And as we look into church history, we find that one of the very first changes that took place between the year 100 and A.D. and 251 A.D. was that church autonomy was changed, and rule of the church was turned over to a hierarchy, a priestly order. The church was controlled. And may I say to you, every denomination on the face of this earth, rather other than the old Baptist church, has this rule today. I do not know of any of them that do not have a denominational headquarters somewhere. Now, I don't have a real soft voice. I understand that a soft answer turneth away wrath. I understand that. And sometimes I don't get across the way I probably should. But also I know that God told Isaiah, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice as a trumpet. Warn my people and tell my people of their sin and their transgression." You look at church history. You look at church history. Along came another doctrine. The doctrine of baptismal regeneration. And then came another doctrine. The doctrine of infant baptism. But let me say something. The old Baptist church doesn't hold to this doctrine of Nicolaitans. They realize that elders are nothing more than sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And Paul the Apostle was one of the chiefest of sinners. And we realize that elders can... I'm not going to use the word mistake. And let me tell you why. You can search the Word of God through and you'll not find the word mistake or compromise in the Bible. We either sin against God or we are obedient to His Word.
Amen.
We are either in error or we are in truth.
Amen.
We are in light or we are in darkness. There is no shadow of turning in Him, and there is no darkness in Him. And he that saith, I walk in light, or in darkness, and say, I have fellowship with Him, lies and does not the truth. If you're not with me, you're against me, Jesus said. I get a little upset about this business of thinking that we can call ourselves disciples of Christ and compromise and change and turn and twist the Word of God to where we're total disobedient to the Word of God, and then we come up with names like a carnal Christian. I just soon talk about a holy devil.
Amen.
But we realize that elders are sinners saved by grace, and they can err. Paul the apostle had to confront Peter face to face. Paul said, when you're around the Jews, you act like a Jew. When you're around the Gentiles, you act like a Gentile. I'm going to translate that to some old Southern Arcadia language. When you're around the Methodists, you talk like a Methodist. When you're around the Presbyterians, you talk like a Presbyterian. When you're around an interdenominationalist, you talk like an interdenominationalist. And when you're with the old Baptist, you try to talk like an old Baptist. Paul says, that's wrong. You're an old Baptist, be an old Baptist. And don't be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the name Primitive Baptist. And I don't mind telling you, there are some who name the name Primitive Baptist that are ashamed of it. How do we recognize these masters of change? How do we recognize? Not by their appearance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says concerning false prophets, he says, it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, you listen to me, beloved. The Word of God says we are to esteem elders. We are to support them financially. We are to pray for them. We are to hold them up, and especially those who labor in the Word. I believe that from the depths of my heart. And what I'm about to say is no reflection upon elders that are elders indeed. Nor is it even in a reflection upon elders who may be just in error in a small way. But may I say unto you that you cannot identify a false prophet by his appearance. He can look like, he can walk like, he can talk like, he can dress like, and he can smell like, if a minister's supposed to smell. Just like a minister of righteousness, but he can be a minister of the devil himself.
Amen.
Now that's shocking words, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something else. They're not easily identified by their speech, by the messages that they preach. And I'm going to have to hurry. I want to hear Brother Bob, but listen, in the Word of God, we're told that they use fair speeches in the book of Romans. Fair speeches. We're told that they use enticing words in the book of Colossians. We're told that they use philosophy and vain deceit in the book of Colossians. We are told that they use cunningly devised fables in the book of 2 Peter. And we're told that they use feigned words in 2 Peter. Now, Brother Strickland, you were up there at Pigeon Forge, and you know exactly where I got this from. But whatever Brother Sonny Powell said, it's, and I heard it, it's now mine. And that goes for anything any man says from the Word of God. If you can use it, use it.
Amen. Right.
I said, hold your finger on 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall... You know what that word feigned means? It comes from a Greek word, plasto. It means plastic. Plastic can be formed and shaped. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So what we have here is a church where Brother Plastic is the pastor. And maybe Sister Elastic is the co-pastor. And they're going to make merchandise of God's people. They're going to gain things from for their own pleasure. And they're going to bring in their false teachings. And how do they do it? In the light? No. They bring them in privately. Privately, Peter says. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They're going to bring them in perniciously, destructively. They're going to bring them in a temporal way, not in a spiritual way. They're going to bring them in as lascivious ways for their personal pleasure and their personal satisfaction. They're going to make merchandise of flesh. They're going to treat you as nothing more than a pawn to be bought or sold for their own personal gain. These are not words of pleasure. They're not words of delight. But they are valuable words.
Amen.
They're words of truth. How do we guard against this type of a thing? I only know of three ways. And I came from a group that was filled with men who did just this. I won't take the time. Brother Scott, you know my heart. Oh, the Lord knows. I was at a church. Well, I left the church. We were in the merchandising business. We had started a private Christian school. I use that word loosely right there. And people were buying and selling my services. Whoever could give the most to the church, boy, I catered to them. We used every kind of gimmick and game to bring them in, contest them in, bust them in. And I left that work and I went to a bigger place of showbiz. We had an auditorium that would seat 2,000 people. We had 21 yellow buses on the road. We'd bring them in and give them goldfish and horseback rides. Oh, I'm ashamed of it. We had a platform about 7 or 8 feet high. The preacher would stand there and the television cameras up in the balcony. We had an organ on each side or a piano and an organ. We had spiral staircases for the robed choir to walk down. As though they were angels from heaven. There was only one angel there. My wife. Showbiz. Somehow God got a hold of my heart. And I had to get out of that. And I don't know why, but I just looked to the map and I said, I'm going somewhere. I got to get away from all this. And I picked a place called Scottsdale, Arizona. And had I not picked Scottsdale, Arizona, I may have never, ever heard of the Primitive Baptist. You know, Primitive Baptists have a tendency to want to hide. They put their light under a bushel. They won't even put a sign out by the road saying the Primitive Baptist Church is this way. I'm sorry, but God never told us to hide. He says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're to light our light and let the world see it. We got nothing to be ashamed of. We can't get a soul 1 inch closer to heaven no matter what we do. But he told Paul, go into Corinth and preach, for in this city I have much people. We ought to want to preach the gospel to everybody and anybody who want to hear it. But I only know of 3 ways that we can avoid the masters of change. 1, set your eyes upon Jesus Christ and not upon men.
Amen.
It makes no difference to me how big the name of the preacher or how successful the preacher. If he is a man of God, he's nothing more than a sinner saved by God's grace, ministering according to the gifts and the abilities that God has given him, and he is not to be exalted and worshipped amongst God's people.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Set your affections upon Christ and measure everything by Jesus Christ. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures and prove all things. The noble Bereans, when they heard the messages preached, they searched the Scriptures to see whether these things be true. Don't put your Bible under a bunch of magazines and leave it there and bring it out just on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Search the Scriptures. Any preacher that doesn't want you checking him out from the Word of God has something to hide. Search the Scriptures. Prove all things. It's not offensive to me if some brother comes up and says, Brother Allgood, you said this wrong, and this is not what the Bible teaches, and shows me from the Word of God that I was wrong. I'll straighten it out. The only thing I ask is don't do it in front of my wife. I've tried to get her convinced that I know most everything. But seriously, we're capable of missing something. Search the Scriptures. And then lastly, seek the leadership. Seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. John writes, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now I believe we have to have preaching. Elders are given gifts to preach to God's people. We need preaching. And we need teaching. And we need the Word of God. But we most definitely need to learn to depend upon him who is the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all truth and speak of Christ.
Amen.
Psalmist says, meddle not with the masters of change. Meddle not with the masters of change. May the Lord bless you.